So we are holding at the top of Memchet Amud Aleph. We said in the Mishnah, after the Mishnah had given us the summary, Kodshim Shvet talking about suffering, then it started talking about the details, the first set of Korbanos being Pur B'Sovish HaYom HaKippurim B'Cholo, that the parents, sorry, that are offered on Yom Kippur. We said Shchitosim B'Sofen, that's been shrefted on the northern side of the Azara. The Kibbul Dom and B'Chishar is B'Sofen, and their blood has to be received in a Mizrach on the north side of the Azara as well. So, The Gemara is going to start by asking about the order, why we have the Korbanos in the order in which they are. Nechti, let's consider it. Suffering Ba'olim. Why is Pyre B'Sovish HaYom HaKippurim listed first, and then the Purim and Nisrafim, Asirim and Nisrafim, and then the Chatois, and only in Mishnah Gala do we get to the Olam? Mechti Suffering Ba'olim, Steve. Given that the whole concept of shechting a korban on the northern side of the Azara says explicitly by an Ola, and all the other ones we learn from it by various occasion, as we shall see, Nisni Ola Bereisha. Then why doesn't it list the Ola first? Why doesn't it first say the Ola is shechting on the north side? Put the Ola first because that is where we learn this actual, that's where it actually says this concept. The answer is Chatas Ayyida Asim Midrasha Chavivalei. True, but since a chatas, it doesn't say in so many words in the Torah. It does. We learn it from a drasha. It's not really a drasha so per se, but it is what the pasuk says by a chatas. In the place where the oila is shechted is where the chatas should be shechted. Meaning, in other words, the Torah is telling you, when it's introducing the concept of a chatas, go look back in Perek Aleph, where it describes how an oila is done, where it says there that it's shechted on the north side, and therefore you'll understand from that a chatas is brought in the same. That the answer is, because we learn it from a drasha, and we find this concept elsewhere, we had it in Yuvamos as well, because we have it from a drasha, and it doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk, chavivale, therefore it's more important and more precious to the Tana, and therefore he chooses to put it first. See, because things that we learn less from Torah Shabbat than by having to apply Torah Shabbat Peh, by having to apply ourselves, in this case not totally Torah Shabbat Peh, because it does say in the pasuk, but still, the fact that we have to put some effort into it, as opposed to just having it spoon-fed to us, means that it's more precious, and therefore he puts it first.
Okay, but it's still not answering the question.
The answer is, the fact is, all of them have to be shechted on the north side, the Ola, the Chatas, and everything.
Not responding to the question. The question is, why do we put the Chatas first?
The answer is, we're not putting the Ola first because the Chatas is more important. So the question... Yes, that's what the Gemara mentions. Because that's how it is. The same way the Gemara mentions this concept at the beginning of Yevamos also. The Gemara mentions over there in a different context about the dinim, about what we talked about over there, about why it lists the Chamesh Esri Nosh and Potris Thursayin, why they're listed in the order that they are. Again, because the first ones on the list are ones that are learned from a Jerusha, and therefore the Tana wants to put them ahead of ones that it says more explicitly in the prophet. That's how it is. That's how it is. The meaning of it is exactly what it sounds like. You have, the pasuk is what Hashem, so to speak, spoon-feeds to us. It's the Rosh Hashanah. The what we learn from a Jerusha, what we have to apply our own brains to is a Sarutta Lasata. It's a voida that we put in our own effort to. And in that sense, it's more important. Because all of it is Chachmaseh Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's Chachmaseh Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes to us as it's sent down to us, and we just have it as given. And then we have Chachmaseh Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to apply our brain in order to understand. And in a way, that is more important to us. The fact that we have to put avodah into it. That makes it more important to us.
Not more important to the
point. In a way, more important. The fact is, we're still learning both of them, but we're putting one first and the other one second. That's what it means. But that is the answer. The Gemara asks for Nisni Chatzoris HaChitzonis. Fine. But in that case, this that it says that the Chatzos is shechted where the oil is talking about Chatzoris HaChitzonis. It's talking about the Chatzos where the blood is sprinkled on the outside of the bear. So put those first.
What, is it also a drasha?
No. In other words, like this. The pasuk only says Sofen explicitly by the oil. All of the Chatzos we're learning from that from a drasha. But it said, but there's a pasuk, bin kaima shetishachata oila, shetishachata chatas, is referring to a chatas chesona. The chatas pnimis, the fact that it applies to a chatas pnimis as well, we learn from yet another drasha. If you're anyway putting drashas ahead of psukim, fine, but why don't you at least put the chatas chesona, where the drasha originally comes in, where it says, bin kaima shetishachata oila, shetishachata chatas, talking about that one. Put that one first. The point is, in other words, put that one first, since it says it more clearly by that, and then from there we learn to the Chatzaris HaPnimius. The answer is, on the other hand, true, but I do the Nichnas Zaman Lefnai V'Lefnim. Yes, but since the blood of the Chatzaris HaPnimius is brought into the Heichel, and even not into the Heichel, Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Chodesh HaKadoshim, therefore also Chaviv Alei, therefore it has a special place. It has pride of place, therefore. So therefore, the Purim and Seirim of Yom Kippur, the Pyre and the Sar of Yom Kippur, come first because they have both advantages. The fact that they're shechted in the north comes from a drasha rather than being explicitly stated in the pasuk, and the fact that and they also have a greater level of kedusha in a certain sense than the average chassas, in that the blood of them is brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So that way, you have, if you want to put it in Chassidish term, you have the advantage of both. You have the advantage that you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is a place of the highest level of Gilui, of course. But at the same time, you also have that the fact that the detail about how the avodah of it is to be done is something that we learn with our own brain being used to apply to learning the Torah, to learning Chokhmah Seir Ratzon Hashem
Yitbarach.
And therefore, it has both advantages. Therefore, we put it first.
Right. So, one second. Where do we really do? It's a drasha, but how do we derive that it's in the northern side? But that drasha, what's the logic?
Because again, it says, "Bimkayim hashet ishachat the oila to shachat the chatas." Where the oila is shechted is where the chatas is shechted. The context of that pasuk is talking about a chatas chesona, but it also applies to a chatas pnim. As we're going to see, we're going to discuss later on.
But we know the chatas chesona
is shechted in the same place as an oila because the pasuk says so. Because the oila says shachat oisal yarcham is beach tofayna lefnei Hashem. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So the question is with the tofayna ba'oila hechzibah. Fine. So let's start then. So now let's go. Now let's go back to basics. Fine. What is the source that the oila is shechted in the north? Is it says the shachat oisal the pasuk that we just said shachat oisal yarcham is beach tofayna. Fine. We say it every day in that. Okay, but the question then becomes, Ashkechan ben Zayin. Fine, but that process now, when it comes to the oila in the psukim, the pasuk first starts talking about the case where a person brings a bull as an oila. A person brings kaya, a person brings ben bok. And it describes the procedure, how it's shechted, and how the blood is sprinkled, and so on and so forth. Then the pasuk says, v'im min ason korbanoi. Then the shachat oisal yarecham is beach, and then it continues with the rest of the details of the avodah. So it doesn't mention sofon but a bakar. It mentions it only in the second section regarding the tzoy. So the question now becomes ashkechan ben tzoy. Well, then we only find that applies by the ben tzoy, ben bakar menolam. Where do we know that it also applies to the ben bakar?
Also a drasha.
But that's we have to figure out what that drasha is. Now, Tosfos points out we had other drashas that we had earlier in earlier Prakim where we learned from Ben Abakar where we didn't ask such things, but the difference is Fakir, because they, among other things, because there it says them by the first one, so naturally you assume, okay, it said it by the first one and it's meant to apply to all subsequent ones. Here, where the Gavka doesn't mention it by the first one and only mentions it by the second one, who says it's meant to apply to the first one? Maybe Xeris Akhtav, that Ben Bakar for an oil can be shafted anywhere, and only Ben Soin has to be shafted on the north, because it only mentions it there.
Ben Bakar is
Ben Bakar means cattle, is the first. Ben Soin is the second. So if it only mentions it by the Soin, and then Pasuk Yud Aleph, where meanwhile you have earlier Pesukim, meanwhile you have a bunch of earlier Pesukim that talk about the Bakar. The answer is, Amakrot, Ve'im Minat Soin, the answer is yes, but the Pasuk introduces the part about sheep for an Ola with the Vav, Ve'im Minat Soin, and if from the sheep. Therefore, Vav Moisif al Inyan Rishin, it means the Vav adds to what we had before, the Yilamit Elyon Mitachton, and therefore teaches us that we can learn the earlier thing, Elyon, the thing above, meaning the Ben Bakar, from what it says later, the Ben Sain. So therefore, if it says, the Shachat Oisai, al Yeracham Ezbeach Safoina, by the Ben Sain, because it's tied together to the previous one with a Vav, therefore we're able to learn the Ben Bakar from the Ben Sain. Before we get further into the Gemara over here, by the way, an interesting side point that the Gemara is going to now discuss this issue, do we in fact say that a vav ties two things together like that and learn one from the other? But the Meshech Chochma makes a very interesting point, a very drashic point about, okay, but why did the pasuk do it that way? Why didn't it just say it flat out by the ben boker and then we'll know it, by the ben and then we'll know it, for the ben son, and we wouldn't need this whole discussion. What? Yeah, fine, but still, you can ask the question. This question can still be asked, why the Torah did it that way. He says a very interesting idea. We were talking yesterday a number of reasons, about chsiddus and other ideas, about why kodshim have to be shefted on the north side of the Azara. Another idea, besides the various ones that we were talking about, there's another idea that's brought in a medrash that says, again, the word safon, meaning north, is related to the word safun, meaning hidden, and therefore it hints at the ashes of Yitzchak, where Yitzchak was going to be brought as a korban, and in the end the ram was brought instead of him. But Ephraim or Yitzchak is, so to speak, hidden away and always being minded by Hashem, always being looked after by Hashem, and he remembers the schutz for us. So therefore we shef kodshe kodshim like an oila, which is what Yitzchak would have been, on the north side to remember that Ephraim or Yitzchak, that is sofun, that's hidden, and that's hidden, so to speak, in Hashem's treasure house. Well, it's a ruchnius different concept, obviously. We don't mean physical ashes. The fact that Yitzchak wasn't shechted and wasn't burned. But what we mean is the ruchnius different concept, the schut that was achieved by the Akedah Yitzchak, is stored up and held as a treasure by Hashem. Well, on the other hand, we find that we have Gemara and Brachos where we Jewish people are concerned, what about if we know Hashem never forgets anything, what's going to happen? Is Hashem never going to forget the eagle either? Is Hashem never going to forget the chet eagle either? And Hashem assures that no, gam eila tishkachna, even this that you said eila elakecha Yisrael, I can eventually forget. Well, also lovo, now, so, not just forgive, that Hashem forgave at the time, but he said, the effect of it will always remain, but Hashem says, so to speak, he'll forget it, and it'll be completely forgotten, it'll be completely wiped away. Well then, therefore, we don't want to say sofun, representing sofun, by the ben bakr, because what is a ben bakr? It's the same species as the eagle. That would imply that the memory of the eagle is always also hidden away by Hashem, and always available to be brought out. In order to avoid that implication, it Dafka doesn't say it by the Ben Bakr. Instead, it says it by the Ben Sain, where, after all, what was brought instead of Yitzchak was a sheep, well, a ram, an adult sheep. Therefore, Dafka says it only by the Sain and not by the Bakr. This is the Meshech Chochma. A ram is an adult male sheep.
Okay. Well, a sheep is a cat.
A sheep is a keves, yes, but a keves means a baby one, under a year old. A ram is one 13 months old or older. Stare is a generic term for anything. I don't know if it has to necessarily have horns. Practically speaking, it does, but I don't know if that's the criteria. The criteria is that it's 13 months old.
Okay, another question. You're saying that Hashem will forget completely the chetayetel.
That's, you have a Gemara in Brachas where Hashem assures the Jewish people, Gam Eila Tishkachna Va'anoichi Va'yashkache. Hashem says, it's in one of the Torahs of Shiva the Nechemta, it's the one from Ekev, where Hashem says, even Eila, even that you said Eila Elakecha Yisrael to the Eagle, can be forgotten. Va'anoichi Va'yashkache, but the fact that you accepted, when I said Anoichi Hashem Elakecha, you accepted the Torah, that will never be forgotten.
Okay. That's the case. Then they shouldn't be Kohanim and Levim separate from the Jewish people.
That's a different question. Okay, that's a different issue which we're not going to get into now. Are the Bechorim going to be doing the Avodah again then? I don't know. It's a good question. But that's a whole different issue. Okay, maybe it is. I don't know. Let's not get into that right now. That's a whole side issue. The point is, though, that we're saying that the Ben Bakr is not suffering in the sense it's not something for permanent remembrance, whereas Akedah Yitzchak, for which a sheep, or rather a ram, or an adult sheep, was brought instead of him, that is always remembered, and therefore that's suffering. Therefore that's suffering, that's hidden away, stored away by Hashem, and to commemorate that, we shech korbanos in the suffering. Okay.
We guarantee that the only good is stored away.
Right. Let's get back to the Gemara over here. Okay. So the question is, this that you're saying, that the vav of the imminatoin teaches us, therefore, to learn the case of the Ben Bakar from the Ben Sarin, which follows it, that works out according to the opinion that says that you can do that, that you can learn Elyon from Kasten, you can learn regarding an earlier passage, you can learn from a later one based on a Vav that connects them. Fine. El Lamadoma Ein Malam. Then what about according to the opinion that says that you can't do that? My Iklamema, then what are you going to say? How do you know then that a Ben Bakar brought as an Ola has to be shechted on the north side? And we know that there is such a machlokes. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, later on, in towards the end of Parshas Vayikra, it talks about you have the case where a person commits me'ilah, where we say that if he did it b'shogig, then he has to pay keri, he has to be keren b'chomesh, and he brings a korban, he brings an asham me'ilos. Then the pasuk continues. Right after that, it continues, bi'im nefesh achas. Then it continues, and if a person does an aveira b'shogig, or not b'shogig actually, but by an oshem toli, where he does something, and he's not sure whether what he did is something that would make him chayav a korban. Classic case is he has two pieces of chaylev in front of him, he has two pieces of fat in front of him, one's chaylev, one's not, he eats one, the other one is lost, and he doesn't know afterwards whether the one that he ate is chaylev or not. We know he has to bring an oshem toli. So the point is, the case of the oshem toli also begins with a vav. It follows the case of Asham Me'ilos. So, does that mean that we darshin, that we learn Elyon from Kafka? So, L'chayev al-Sopik Me'ilos Asham Tolui, Divrei Rav Akiva. So Rav Akiva says, that Vav comes to teach us that yes, what we learn regarding the Elyon, the case of Me'ila, that just as if a person did it b'mezid, if a person did it definitely, but he did it b'shogeg, but he definitely did it, he was definitely committed Me'ila, then he has to bring an Asham Me'ilos. The same way, if he's not sure whether he did it, he had, again, two things in front of him. One was hektish, one wasn't. He ate one of them, the other one's lost. He doesn't know which one it was. Rav Akiva would say he would have to bring an Asham Tolui for that. Same case as if it was two pieces of chela.
Therefore
we see that on the face of it, why is Rabbi Akiva saying that? The pashtus is because of the vav. B'chachamim poter, whereas the chachamim say a person is poter from an oshem toleri regarding me'ilas. It's if a person did me'ila definitely for shogig, then they bring their oshem. But if they did it, if it's a doubt whether they did it, they do not bring anything. Say the chacham. So my lav v'hokam ifvi. Shouldn't we say that that is the underlying machlokes? Mar sava l'meidin or mar sava in l'meidin? Apparently, Rabbi Akiva holds this concept that Lamedin Elyon Mikasten through the Vav that connects them. Therefore, he says we can learn about the Asham Ne'ilos that you also have. We learn from the following case regarding Asham Toleri that Asham Toleri applies to doubtful Ne'ila, whereas a Chum hold that no, and therefore they say he's Potter. So then, in that case, if we apply that to the drasha about the Ben Bakar and the Ben Sarin, then we would say that according to Rabbi Akiva, sure, a Ben Bakar has to be shechted on the north, but the Chachamim would say no. And the halacha obviously is like a Chachamim, right? But not only that halacha is like a Chachamim. Nobody disagrees with this concept that all Olos and all Kotchim have to be shechted on the north. Well, I mentioned yesterday that we have various details in our Perek, various details in the Mishnayos that are the subject of Machloikas, as we shall see. But this that Kotchim should talk about suffering is not the subject of argument. Neither Rav Akiva nor the Chachamim disagree with it. So where would the Chachamim get it from? Why wouldn't they say it applies only to a Ben Sain? Because if they don't hold it, the Vav thing. Amar Papa, said Papa says, no. You're misunderstanding the Machloikas of Rav Akiva and the Chachamim. Dekula Amalamedin, everybody agrees that you can learn Elyon from Tachton using a Vav. Behind the time is it Abanon? No, the reason why that Abanon would say that a person's not chayav an oshem toli for a sophist of Me'ila is as follows. They say, fine, you have the Vav. On the other hand, you have to consider like this. Nemo kan mitzvos, but nemo b'chatas chayav mitzvos. You have a zera shavah. You have, over here it says, by an oshem toli, that he violated one of the mitzvahs, or he possibly violated, that is, one of the mitzvahs, by chatos, it also, by chatos chelev, which means a typical chatos. We use the expression chatos chelev, as we did in Horius, because, among other things, because chelev is one of the more typical kinds of things that a person would end up mistakenly doing and bring a chatos for. So by chatos chelev, it also says mitzvahs, that he violated the mitzvahs Hashem asher lo yisaseinah. So we have a gzeira shava between the two words mitzvahs. So just like in the case of a chatas chelev, what is the definition? What is the achas mikol mitzvah Hashem? We learn over there that it means only things that if he had done it b'mezid, he'd be chayev chores, and therefore since he does it b'shogeg, he's chayev a chatas. It's the same thing. And Oshem Cholui is also the same criteria. It has to be something that the Mezid would be Koris and the Shoyi would be a Chafetz. Me'ilah is not like that. There's no Koris for Mezid for Me'ilah. There's no chassas for shogig for me'ilah. It's an osham is for shogig for me'ilah. Therefore, it's not the same. Therefore, the chachamim say, very nice, you have your vav. But on the other hand, the gzeirah shavah is contradicting that.
So, in other words, chachamim is saying we don't apply the
vav. So, the chachamim are saying you can't apply the vav over here because you have a gzeirah shavah contradicting it.
And the gzeirah shavah contradicting it is...
Well, so that means we have to use the gzeirah shavah. The vav we'll use for something else. But, yeah. Gzeirah
rabakir. Because it doesn't apply.
Right. Because it doesn't have the same criteria. Me'ilah is not zonik kodesh, it's not shigrasi chasav, therefore it's not an oshem tali. Yeah. Dvir Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Akiva would say, he would say, fine, I agree with the gzeirah shavah, but I would understand the gzeirah shavah differently. Malahalan b'kvua aftan b'kvua. I would say the gzeirah shavah is not teaching us that in order to be chayav for an oshem tali, it davka has to be something that's chayav kodesh for mezid and chasav for shogeg. It just has to be something where if it had been done, definitely, a person would be chayav a fixed value korban. Now, in the case of chaylev and all the other ones that a person is chayav of a typical chatas for, that's all a chatas kvur. It's all a fixed value chatas. It's always a sheep or a goat. There's no variation depending how much the person can afford. And me'ilah is also like that. Me'ilah is a person has to bring an osham. It has to be a rim. It has to actually be in the case of the osham, in the case of the asham me'ilahs, the Torah actually spells out how much it has to be worth, as we're going to talk about soon. It has to be worth at least 2 sloim. So, but again, it's a fixed chasas as opposed to a korban over the year. So he would say all the gzeirah shavah is doing la puki chasas the tumas mitzvah kodesh of the olav yeriku. He would say, what is the gzeirah shavah coming to exclude? Not a case of me'ilah because that's not zonei kodesh and shidrot chasas. No, the gzeirah shavah between the word mitzvah is only coming to teach us that you don't bring an oshem tolerei if you have a sophist whether you entered the bet mitzvah for tumah or ate kodesh for tumah. Because there, that's completely dissimilar. From the other cases where a person brings a chassas. Not only it's not, I mean, there is zonei kores actually, but the chassas itself that he's bringing is a variable chassas. It's a korban olav yerek. Therefore, he said, because for Tumas Nefesh Rekadsha, because it's a korban olav yerek. It depends on what he can afford. Right?
Yeah.
So again, the Chachamim would say that the Gzeirah Shavah teaches us to bring an Oshem Tolui, it has to be the kind of thing where, had the person definitely done it, he would have brought a Chatas, a fixed Chatas, not an Oshem and not a variable Chatas, therefore not Me'ilah. And Rabbi Akiva would say it only has to be that he would have brought a korban that has a fixed value, that has a fixed type of korban rather than one that varies depending how much he can afford. So therefore, a chatas is included, an oshem is included. The only one that's not included is a korban olav yerek.
Right. You would not apply the gzeirah shavah.
No, so the chachamim and Rabbi Akiva were saying we both apply the gzeirah shavah. They just understand it differently. But the point is, in other words, the chachamim, we don't have to say that they're arguing whether you apply the vav or not. Fine, the vav can be applied. However, in this case, the chacham hold the gzeirah shavah contradicts the implication of that vav. Therefore, we have to go with the gzeirah shavah because the vav would teach us that you do bring an asham tali for sopik me'ilah, whereas the rule of what I've learned from the gzeirah shavah mitzvah teaches us that you don't, and therefore you have to use the gzeirah shavah and ignore the vav. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says you can use both. You can use the vav to teach us. You can use the vav to teach us yomad elyon mitachzon. As well, you can use the gzeirah shavah to say. As well, you can use the gzeirah shavah to say that that it applies not only to cases where a person is chayav a chatas, but also to the case of me'ilah where a person is instead chayav an osham and where there's no parties involved.
And even if they contradict each other,
Rabbi Akiva says they don't contradict each other. That's the point. Rabbi Akiva understands the gzeirah shavah differently. He understands the application of it differently. Okay. What would the Rabbanon answer to that? They would say, yeah, but ain't Gzeirah Shavah l'mechzer. Yeah, but you don't apply a Gzeirah Shavah by half. If you have, if the point of the Gzeirah Shavah is that you're comparing to Kol Mitzvah Hashem, where you bring a chatas, then it has to be a complete, then you have to, the comparison has to carry all the way through. Again, a chatas is only brought to something that is Zonei Kores, Therefore, you can't say that you're only going to apply the Gzeira Shava to one aspect of that. That the Chatos is fixed value, and therefore it has to be that the carbon that you bring, if it was definite, was a fixed value carbon, and ignore the question of whether it's Tares versus not, and whether it's a Chatos. Not Tares comes first. The Gzeira Shava is teaching us that you're comparing to a case where it's Zonei Tares and Shagrote Chatos. Therefore, you have to go through that comparison all the way. You can't say you're only comparing insofar as the detail that it has a fixed, that it's a fixed type of carbon, and all the other details you're going to say you don't apply the Gzeira Shava to. You say the Gzeira Shava doesn't have to apply to those details. It doesn't work that way. Once you're learning the Gzeira Shava, it has to carry all the way through. Therefore, it has to be that if the Gzeira Shava is teaching us you only bring an Ashen Tali for something where it's Zonei Tares and Shagrote Chatos. So therefore, not Mela. Okay, so the question now becomes, Rabbi Akiva Nami and Gzeira Shava L'Mechta. Okay, doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree with that concept that you can't do a Gzeira Shava by half? It's an all or nothing. It's an all or nothing limud. The answer is Einoch Nami. You're right. You're right. You can't say that that's the machlokes between them is how to apply the Gzeira Shava, because the fact is that the Chachamim would have a valid point in Gzeira Shava L'Mechta, and you're not going to be able to make Rabbi Akiva's way of learning it. No. So we do have to, after all, go back to the original idea and say that, yes, the machlokas is Rabbi Akiva Sava V'im Nefesh Ksiv, Vav Moses Al Inyan Rishon. Rabbi Akiva holds that because it says Vav, then therefore it means that it's adding to what we said before. And therefore, in other words, so we're saying it a little bit differently, actually. We're not saying anymore the idea that that the Lamed Elyon Mitachton, that therefore we're not saying necessarily according to Rav Akiva that therefore we're going to say we're going to learn the case of Me'ila from the case of Ashem Tolu that's following it. But what we'll just say is that Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishon, the Vav teaches us that the case of Ashem Tolu is adding to the previous case of Me'ila. In other words, basically it amounts to a Hekesh. And therefore, in other words, if you bring an Ashem Tolu for the cases of Zonei Tares and Shagrote Chatos, which we learn from the Gzeira Shava of the word mitzvahs, in addition, it also has to mean that it's also a continuation of the part of Ame'ila, and therefore the Torah must also be telling us, in addition to what you learn from the Gzeira Shava, as well also use the Tekish to say that you're going to bring it also for a Sopik of Me'ila. So you're not saying, like you said before, that Yolamed Elyon Mitachton, that we're going to take the part of Ame'ila and learn that what it says in the following one also applies to it. No, we don't have to say that. What we can say is that he's saying, no, that the other way around. The Torah is giving us a hekesh to learn that another, aside from the cases of Zonei Tares and Shagrote Chatos, another case where a person brings an Ashem Tolu is the one that I mentioned in the previous passage about Me'ila. So then the question is, Rabbanan Nami Hoksi Vim Nefesh. Okay, but Rabbanan have the same vav in the Pasuk. Lema Bahakamit. Yes, Lema Bahakamit. And if you're saying that they're arguing, does that mean necessarily then that they're arguing as follows? Demar Sava Hekesh Adir for Mar Sava Gzer Shava Adir. Would it be therefore that we would say that Rabbi Akiva would hold that the Hekesh outweighs the Kavachomer, not the Kavachomer, the Gzer Shava, that the Hekesh outweighs the Gzeira Shava, whereas the Rabbanon would say that not, the Gzeira Shava is more important, and therefore you have to override the Hekesh.
What's the difference between
the difference would be, and the difference is the Gzeira Shava is you have the same word in two different places. A Hekesh is the Torah mentioned one din, and then it mentioned another din following it. So it seems, according to Rav Akiva, we would say that the Hekesh is the more important thing. Therefore, what we're going to say is, never mind the Gzeira Shava. We're going to allow the Hekesh to override it and say that, he would say that the fact that the Torah put them one after the other and connected them together with a Vav means that obviously the Torah wants us to learn one from the other. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say, actually, Tosfos discusses a little bit over here, that what Rabbi Akiva would say is like this. Granted, usually you don't say Gzeira Shava L'Mechta, but in this case, where we have a Hekesh, that appears to contradict the implication of Gzeira Shava, better that we should understand. Gzeira Shava still applies, but it's only Lamaseh, only as far as the detail of that you're talking about a korban of a fixed type, as opposed to a korban of a yerid. And that way we can still have both. That way we can still have the Hekesh, and the Hekesh will only partially override the Gzeira Shava.
We only apply what doesn't contradict.
That's what Rabbi Akiva would say. Rabbi Akiva would say that if we say that the Hekesh is better, then what that means is that we're going to say that ordinarily we would apply a Gzeira Shava across the board. Therefore, we would have to say that the Gzeira Shava is teaching us that an Oshem Chalori is only for Zonei Kores and Shigrotechah. That's just like Chelev and so forth. But the fact that you have a Hekesh that seems to contradict that, because the Hekesh teaches us that there's some kind of connection between Me'ila and Oshem Chalori, Rabbi Akiva would say, therefore, that means allow the Hekesh to partially override the Gzeira Shava, not completely, because the fact is you do have a Gzeira Shava, but allow it to override it, at least to the extent that we'll say, in this case, you have a Gzeira Shava Lamaseh. So the Gzeira Shava will teach us that an Oshem Chalori applies only when otherwise, if it had been done definitely, you would bring some kind of fixed type of carbon, not a variable type, not a carbon out of the yard, but not that you would learn that it specifically has to be Zonei Kores and Shigrotei Chatos, because the Hekesh contradicts that point. Rav Akiva would say that. Umar Sava Gzeira Shava, whereas we should assume that the Rabbanon would say that no, the Gzeira Shava is much stronger than the Hekesh. Therefore, in this case, the Chachamim will say ignore the Hekesh and focus only on the Gzeira Shava. And since Ein Gzeira Shava the Master, that means it carries all the way through and it has to be Zonei Kores. The Chachamim would say, for one thing, because the Hekesh, okay, I mean, the Torah wanted to write both in him, okay, it had to write them in some order, right? But the Gzeira Shava, where you actually have, where the Pasuk used specific words in each place to teach us the din, that's much stronger. You also have the point, for example, another consideration is, a Gzeira Shava, we know throughout Shas, a person can't come up with their own Gzeira Shava. They have to have it, the Kabbalah, from their teacher. As opposed to a Hekesh, a person can come up with a Hekesh on their own. So therefore, the Chacham might hold, maybe, that the Gzeira Shava is stronger.
The Hekesh
is when the Torah tells us one din, and then adjacent to it says another.
One next to another.
That's a Hekesh. So should we say that? Like Rabbi Akiva holds the Hekesh is stronger, therefore we can partially override the Gzeira Shava, and the Rabbanon would hold that not. The answer is why? No, we don't have to understand it that way. The Kulam has the Hekesh of it. Both of them might agree that a Hekesh is stronger, and therefore, returning to what we were talking about, the case of Sofon, we do, after all, have a Hekesh between the Ben Bakr and the Ben Sofon. We don't have any Gzeira Shava contradicting it. Therefore, they will both agree that the Hekesh teaches us that what applies to one applies to the other. But what about the case of Oshem Tolui? The Amri Lach Rabbanim, so that Rabbanim will say like this, Kapten who did Gamma Elyon, La Oshem Bekesef Shkolim. You know what I'm learning using that bob, using that Hekesh? I'm not learning the concept that an Oshem Tolui in general can apply to other things that are not Zonei Kores and Shigrotei Chatos, like you would have ever want to say that it would apply to me. What we're learning from the Hekesh, the Chachamim are saying, what we're going to learn using the bob, that the Tachsin is going to learn from the Elyon, that the second case of Oshem Tolui is going to learn from Asham Ne'ilos, is La Oshem Bekesef Shkolim. What you're going to learn with that Hekesh is, like this, when it comes to Asham Me'iloi, the Torah spells out, the Asham that you bring has to be a ram, and it has to be worth at least 2 sloyim. In the case of Asham Toli, the Pasuk doesn't spell that out. All the Pasuk says is that you should bring an ayo for an Asham, doesn't how much it should be worth. But Rabbanan would say, that's what the Hekesh comes to teach us. That just as with Me'ila, the Asham that you bring has to be worth at least 2 sloyim, so also, with an Oshem Tolui, it also has to be worth at least 2 sloyim. But nothing about what are the circumstances in which you bring an Oshem Tolui. That we learn strictly from the Gzeira Shava, with what we're learning from this Hekesh, from the Vav, that ties it together to Asham Ne'ilos, is how much the carbon has to be worth.
Much less important.
Right. Shaloi Tomar, and the reason why the Chacham would say, now why do you need that Hekesh? Because otherwise, you shouldn't think to say, lo yehei tzfeka komim madoi, because after all, you should think, look, a sophic of having done an avera shouldn't be stricter than a vadai of having done the avera. Ma vadoi chatas bat danka. Now, when it comes to, let's say a person definitely ate chela. They did it for shogig, but They definitely ate chaylev. They know they ate chaylev, or they know they broke Shabbos, or what have you. It was the shogeg, but yeah. What happens? All they need is chatas bas danka. All they need is a chatas, which is worth only a danka. A danka is one sixth of a zuz, a ma, which is a very small amount. And actually, Rashi says it's not even. So you have four dinarim to the seller. A seller is four dinarim, and a dinar is six ma. So it comes out that a ma is 1/24 of a seller. If we're saying that when it comes to me'ila, and now we're saying based on the hekish, we're saying also an ashen toloi. If we're saying it has to be with two svarim, then that means we learned about this actually in Hordius, that it means that the ashen therefore is worth 48 times as much as the chatas. Two svarim, each of which consists of 24 ma. Now, so you need the hekesh to tell you that, because otherwise you would say that when it comes to a badai, all you need is a chatas bas danka, all you need is a chatas that's worth one ma, a sixth of a dinar. And actually, Rashi points out, it doesn't even mean that it has to be worth that much. All it means is that's the typical price for a sheep. If you're able to get one even cheaper than that, you're allowed to, as long as it's a good quality. But the point is, there's no particular minimum amount that you have to spend on a chatas. Whereas you would think, ask Sveika Oshan by Janka. So if it weren't for the Hekish, you would think, okay, a Sophic should be stronger than that. A Sophic also, you should be able to bring it. It has to be an Oshan, it has to be a ram, fine. But who says you can't also buy it for one ma? Therefore, we need the Hekish to tell us that not. That it needs to be worth two Sloyim just as it is by minimum.
Would you buy a ram for one ma?
Conceivably, and the Gemara in Chrysos actually talks about the cases where you have, let's say, for example, you can't find any rams that anybody's selling for two svarim. All of the prices have gone down, and now the most anybody is charging for them is less than two svarim. Doesn't work. You have to wait until the price goes up to two svarim, and only then can you buy your animal and bring it to the cart. The Torah is maxed on that. No, well, then you'd have a problem with no. Then you'd have a problem because you're overcharging.
No, he can charge you with, let's say, two mark. Can't you give him two slime?
No, because we learned in Dogmatia, we have the whole thing about I know, you're not allowed to just overcharge. You're not allowed to just overcharge.
No,
because if the going price right now is, let's say, Stella and a half, then that's the going price, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, so that is why, say, the Chachamim, that is why the Torah is giving us this hekesh with Me'ila. Not to teach us that you bring an Oshem Tolu for a Sophic Me'ila, but to teach us that it has to be worth just as much as the Oshem for Me'ila. By the way, the logical reason behind that, why Taka should it be so, why Taka should the Sophic be worth that you have to bring a much more valuable carbon than the Badai? So Rabbeinu Yonah brings, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Yonah brings, and in Shari Tshuva, the Ramban, who was actually a cousin of Rabbeinu Yonah, brings in his Pirush on Chumash, and from there it's brought to Shulchan Aruch. And the reason is exactly that. When a person did a Vadei Aveira, they feel really bad about it. They're going to do some Shari Tshuva. When a person did a Sophic, he's not sure whether he had Chaylev. Okay, is it really that important? Do I really need to do so much Tshuva for it? After all, not necessarily. Did I even do anything wrong in the first place? Therefore, the Torah imposed on him a much more expensive carbon in order that he should realize that point, in order that he should realize to do tshuva for it as well. And Shulchan Aruch brings this in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, or actually in Hilchos Aseret Yemei Tshuva, whatever, when it talks about the importance of doing tshuva during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So it brings over there, based on this, that the person needs to do stronger tshuva during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and in general during the year, for cases where it's a sophic, than for cases where it's a badai. Because a sophic, a person is asked to think, so it can't be that bad. It's only a sophic whether I did it. Whether it's a badai, he knows what he did wrong, and eventually he's going to have a guilty conscience about it and do tshuva.
In order to force him to have a special...
To have that charaka, therefore the Torah imposes on him a more... Fine. What about Rabbi Akiva? He does agree with that concept. Again, he does agree that an Ashem Tolu has to be worth at least two svarim. If he is using the Hekesh to teach us about that you bring an Ashem Tolu from Me'ila, the Sophic Me'ila, then where does he get that from? The answer is not Kalim. He's always Torah for Ashem. He learns it from the fact that later on in Parsha Tzav, it says, Zois Torah Ha'ashem, which means Torah Achat L'chol Ha'ashamis, which means there's one Torah, one rule for all Ha'ashamis.
Including prices?
Including the price. Now, so actually you have six types of Ha'asham. We say every day in that, and have later on in our parish, that you have six types of Ha'asham. Ha'asham Zeilus, Ha'asham Ne'ilus, Ha'asham Shech Ha'arupa, Ha'asham Nogir, Ha'asham Mephirah, and Ha'asham Tov. When we say over here, Zois Torah Ha'asham, Torah Achat L'chol Ha'asham, what we mean is actually all of the Ha'ashamis where the Torah says that it has to be an ayin. Four out of those six Ha'ashamis, the Torah says it has to be an ayin. Based on this verse, Torah Ha'asham, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need a hekesh. I'm saying, we're saying, if the Torah is telling us that the same rule applies to all of them, if it says by one of them that it has to be an ayin, and it says that it has to be the same. No, so according to, no, because two of them, by the Nazir and the Masurah, the Pasuk spells out that instead of being an ayin, that it's a kev. Well, there the Torah doesn't say anything about a price, but there it says that it's a kev, that it's a young sheep, rather than an aisle, a mature ram. So there, those two are a separate case, right? The other four. So Rabbi Akiva is going to learn from those Torah Tasha. The question is, Tainach, so therefore he doesn't need the hekesh for that. Therefore, he has the hekesh available to teach us so that you bring an Ashen Tali for Suffolk man. The question is, Tainach Mandi Isle Torah. Okay, that works out very well according to the opinion, which says that we use the word Torah to teach us different things. Torah Achas Achol Hashamis, for example. But at the beginning of Menachos, that works out according to the opinion that says at the beginning of Menachos that we can use the word Torah to teach us such a concept. But what about Mandelestle Torah Mehechazomer? What about though in Menachos it describes over there that you have a Mandelomer who says that we do not use the word Torah to teach us such things? So according to that, we don't use the word Torah to teach us that the same rule applies to all Hashamahs or whatever. So according to him, Mehecha Gomar, so where is he going to learn it from then? The answer is Gomar Be'erkecha Be'erkecha. Okay, but he will say that we have the word Be'erkecha, where it says by the Asham Tolui, and it says by the Asham Zeilus. By both of them it says you have to bring an Asham Be'erkecha according to the value. So since by the Asham Me'ilot, it spells out that the value is 2 Tzloyim, then therefore Rabbi Akiva will say, good, well in that case, then we have that Zera Shava teaches us, even if you don't use the word Zoyt Torah, but you have the Zera Shava from the two words Be'erkecha to teach us that the Asham Tolu is also 2 Tzloyim. Tosus points out, the Gemara doesn't say, but Tosus points out that the Rabbanon might say, okay, but we still need the same logic as we just said before, that you would think the Sofet can't be any stronger than the Vadai, so they still need the Gzeder Shavah, the Erkecha, to teach us enough.
They use it in different
ways. Yeah, okay. So the question is, fine, Kena Hecha Dixib the Erkecha. Okay, so now that takes care of the Osh, of the Asham Me'ilos. That takes care also of the Asham Zeilos, because there also it says the Erkecha. That takes care of the Asham Tolui, same thing. What about, though, the fourth type of Asham, which needs to be worth 2 Tzloyim, the Asham Shivcha Harucha, the Loik Sidbe the Erkecha. There the Pasuk does not use the word the Erkecha. So Ma'ik Lamema, what are you going to say over there? Where are you going to learn there that it has to be worth at least 2 Tzloyim? The answer is Gama Be'el, Be'el. Okay, but in both places it says that he should have Kapara Be'el Ha'asham. So therefore, both places meaning by the Shivcha Harufa it says, and by the other ones it also says, by the other three it also says by you. So therefore, we have a Zera Shavah for that, that if the other ones, so we have Be'erkecha therefore teaches us that each of the other three is two, and Be'el teaches us that the same is also true of the Asham Shivcha Harufa. Again, the Asham Nazir and Asham Tolu, the Asham Nazir and Asham Mesurah are actually a different kind of thing because those are actually a Keves Ben Shana. Those are actually a yearling sheep as opposed to, so they're the, by them the Pasuk says it's a yearling sheep. So therefore, they're a different category of Asham. So the bottom line with this sugya over here is that ultimately we say everybody does agree when you have two portions in the Torah that are connected together with a vav, that you do, it does create a hekesh and we can learn one from the other. Therefore, if it says by the Ben Stein, it says that it has to be shechted on the north, then we know the same thing applies to the Ben Bakr that was in the previous section. We're arguing over here. What exactly? How exactly what exactly we're using the hekesh for in the case of the ashar, in the case of the Ashram Talui, but everybody does agree to that basic concept that a hekesh like that does work.
Okay.
Fine. So that takes care of the oil. What about chatas menol on the bayan zafin? Where do we know by chatas that it has to be shechted menol? Well, the chtiv, because the pasuk says the shachat is chatas b'mkayim oila. Because the pasuk says by the chatas of a nasi, it says that he should shech the chatas in the place of oila. Rashi points out over here what we have over here. Therefore, is a binyan act. The context in those psukim is talking about a chatas, so it doesn't need to say the shachat es a chatas. It could have said the shachat oisa. The fact that it says the shachat es a chatas means, therefore, we have a binyan act. Any chatas has to be shechted on the north side. The question is, ashkechon shchita. Okay, so that takes care of the shchita. We know, therefore, has to be done on the north side. Kabbalah menolam. Where do we know that the Kabbalah padam also has to be done on the north side? And by the way, we learned in the previous... Let's say, so we talked about the previous pet. You could have, for example, that not in the previous pet, a previous pet, as we discussed it earlier back in the Lamed. You could have, let's say, for example, you have the animal standing right by the dividing line between north and south. The Koyan stands on in the southern half of the Azara, is holding the basin. He's holding it also on right on the other side of the line, and the blood is able to go in there, but we're saying that's no good. So where do we know that? The reason is because the pasuk says the locker hakayin midamachatzas, because the pasuk says that the pasuk says that the kohen should take from the damachatzas. It's the shachat as and it says that it continues the locker hakayin. The locker, as Rashi points out, means the kabbalah sadam. Therefore, therefore the implication is where the shchita is done is where the lakicha has to be done. So therefore in the same area in the suburb. Okay, the question is Makabal Asma Minolon, fine.
Did we see that before?
We talked about it in a not exactly, but yeah, I mean we talked about it earlier in the second paragraph when we talked about one of the stolen of a carbon is that if the blood was not received on the north side of the Azara. Yes, we touched on these issues. If the Kaylee is on the south side, if the person is on the south side, yeah. Okay. So what about Makabal Asma Minolon? Where do we know that the Kohen himself also has to be standing in the northern half? So you can't have, again, that he's standing over the line in the southern half and reaching over with the bowl into the northern. Yes. No, the Lockhart teaches us the bowl itself has to be, that the basin itself has to be on the north side. How do we know that you can't have the Kohen standing a foot away inside in the southern half of the Azara and reaching over? The reason is Amakra, the Lockhart, Loy Yikach, because since the pasuk is v'lokach, we can rearrange the letters of the word v'lokach to spell Loy Yikach. To himself, he shall take. He needs to take himself over to the north side where the Kabbalah is going to take place. If it didn't say v'lokach, the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis actually that what it is the pasuk could have said lokach, and it says instead it says v'lokach. So that allows us to darshan, that it means Loy Yikach, he has to take himself over in that direction and make sure that he himself is standing on that side of the Azara. So that's where we see that he himself,
Loy Yikach to him.
Loy to him, meaning himself. Yikach, he should take. That's what it means, therefore he should take himself over to that side.
Why couldn't he be on another side?
Because that wouldn't be Loy Yikach. That wouldn't be that he didn't take himself over to the north side. Loy Yikach means he himself. He has to take his own body. He has to pick himself up and go over to the north side. He can't stand on the south side and reach over. The question is, Ashkon the mitzvah.
Loy himself can be...
That's what it means, himself. Sarseh the Makhreb Darshay, Rashi says. It means rearrange the word of Lokach and darshan it. Es Asma Yikach Lomakam Adam. He has to take himself over to the place where the blood is going to be, meaning on the north. Question is, Ashkon the mitzvah. Okay, so far though, all that teaches us is that that's the right way to do it, that that's the proper way to do it. La'akiv minayin. How do we know that it's ma'akiv? Because, as we've learned many times before, by kodshim it needs to say something twice in the pasuk for it to be ma'akiv. The answer is karachin. Okay, but we have another pasuk. Namely, it says, by the chatas, the shachat oisah bim kremashi yishchatas ha'ola. Another pasuk that says, that says actually the earlier pasuk for shachat as a chatas actually wasn't talking about the sorry nasi, it was talking about the sorry yachid, rather. This other one that we're quoting refers to the Sarah Nasi. If a Shachat Oseh ben Kremash Yishchat HaSarah, you should check it in the place where the Ola is shechted. V'tanya, and you learn in a brass, Sehechen Ola Mishchat HaSofen, where is an Ola shechted, as we established before, HaSofen on the north side, therefore Ahzeh HaSofen. Therefore, this passage teaches us that the Sarah Nasi has to also be shechted on the north. So the question is, the Braisa asks, you're telling me that you're learning this concept from this pasuk, you're telling me you're learning it from there? Don't we already have, we have a pasuk later on in Parashat Tzav, the Torah says in general, where the Ola is chested, meaning on the north side, so they're also the Chatas have to be chested. So we already have that. So why do we need the Pasuk? Why do we need a Pasuk by the Saranasi to repeat that concept? Ha Lama Yasa, so why is it mentioning it specifically by the Saranasi? L'kabaya l'makim, it means to repeat it, to establish firmly that this has to be the place, in other words, to be ma'akib. She'im lo shachta basafan pasuk. That if you don't chest it on the north side, it's pasuk. Because now you have it twice. Once generically regarding all chatzaris, and once specifically regarding the Saranasi. So therefore,
that we have to include the Saranasi specifically.
We needed it repeated a second time, and the place where it was repeated was by the Saranasi. But then we have to figure out how do we know that it applies to the other chatzaris as well. That's going to be the continuation of the discussion. And by the way, it's worth pointing out. Also, the Medrash points out why Taka is a chatzas shechted in the same place as Nola. Why Taka does the Torah insist on that? The reason is because imagine you have a person has brought his korban. If the chatas has its own area to be shechted, everybody passing by is going to realize he's offering a chatas or an asham, as the case may be, and he's going to be very embarrassed. In order to spare him that embarrassment, it's shechted in the same place as the ola, and that way bystanders don't necessarily realize that he's offering a chatas, which could just as well be an ola. Okay.
So
fine. Getting back to the Gemara. So now you're saying, continues the Braisa, that you're telling me that the Saran Nasi is mentioned and it's one of those examples of Loi Lamed Al Asma Yasa, Elo Lamed Al Akwal Kula Yasa, that's teaching us not only about itself, but about every other Chasa, so it has to be shechted on the north side. Oi Eina Elo Shazer Toron Sofen, Main Acha Toron Sofen. Maybe not. Who says? Maybe it means that Davka, the Saran Nasi, must be shechted on the north, and if not, then it's possible. Every other Chasa maybe should be shechted on the north, but if it's not, maybe it's still kosher. How do you know? The answer is continue the Braisa. Tamad Lama, v'shachat as a chatas in Koma Ola. Therefore, you have the pasuk by the chatas of the Yachid that says that he should shech the chatas in the place of the Ola. And there, as we said, as Rashi had said on Amar Aleph, the word es hachatas is extra, because we already know we're talking about a chatas. Therefore, zeh bona av l'kol chatos. Therefore, we have a binyan av for all chatos, future unis suffering, that they all require, they all have to be shechted on the north side.
Because of the ribui
es hachatas. Now, the question is we're gonna ask soon in a couple of lines, in that case, why do we need the word oisai by the third Nazi at all? If we have already the binyan av, and we have the generic expression, then what is it adding by mentioning v'shachat oisai v'chatas by the third Nazi? So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, ashkechon third Nazi ben l'mitzvah ben l'achiv, fine. So far, then, what we can say is, we found by the third Nasi, we have now two psukim from which we see that it's a mitzvah and la'akiv. It should be shechted on the north, but it must be shechted on the north, the third Nasi, and it's not a possible, right? Shachatois nami ashkechon l'mitzvah. Now, by other chatois, we have the word tishachat achatos, and that teaches us that it's l'mitzvah, la'akiv minolah. But we have to ask, by other chatois, where do we know that it's ma'akiv? Now, we already had two psukim for it. However, Rashi says that you could argue, given that you have the word oisai by the Saranasi, that could be understood as a miut, only the Saranasi, as the Braisa said before, maybe it means only the Saranasi, and therefore we needed the pasuk by the chatas of a yachad to contradict that, to refute that implication and say that no, it applies to all chatas. that why we always say we have to get back to. But the point is, we still don't have two psukim that it says by the that we still don't have two psukim that aren't otherwise needed for other purposes by a chatas yachid. So how do we know that a chatas yachid must be shechted on the north?
All the psukim are used.
We have another, no, no. So in other words, we have a tishachat, that's one post.
Right.
Then we have, though, by the Sarah Nafi, it says tishachat oisar v'chatas, v'mkaimash yishchatas ha'ola, and you would misunderstand that to mean only the Sarah Nafi at yishchatas, there are no other ones. Instead, we're saying that you have the fact that it says by the chatas yachat, tishachat v'chatas, v'mkaimash ola, teaches us that all of them. But you still, therefore, all that, so that pasuk is only coming to contradict the implication from the Sarah Nafi. You don't have it available to also teach us Ba'akir. So that's the question. Shal Chatoris Nami Ashkom Mitzvah. So by other Chatoris, we find that you have a mitzvah to do it on the north. La'akir Menola. And how do we know that by the other Chatoris, it is Ma'akir also? The answer is Dichtiv Kisbo Chtiv Bitira. Because these words, the Shachat HaSachatos, you have by Yochit Korban Chatos, you have two types of animals that he could bring. He could bring a se'ira, a female goat, or he could bring a kisba, a female sheep, and by each one of them, the pasuk repeats this idea, that it should, that the chatas should be shechted in the place of oila. So therefore, one of them is extra, and therefore one of them is available to teach us that it applies. So one of them is needed in order to contradict the implication that we would have understood from, that we would have mistakenly understood from oisai, by the Saranasi. And the other one it teaches, and the other one is the one we're active to teach us that it's active across the board. So that's it. So that's how we know, therefore, that it's not active, if it's not shechted on the north by all chatos. Okay. So now the question is, el oisoi lomali. Okay, well, in that case, then why, after all, does it say the word oisoi by the third nasi in the first place? If we're not using it for this drasha to say that it means only the third nasi, just the opposite, we said it applies across the board.
It's not immediate.
That's the point. We thought that was a mirror, but really it's not. Then what is it there for? What is it being mimai? It's not being mimai, it's other chatoris, because we just said that other chatoris. That's where we have to figure. Where lechora is a mirror. The answer is mevoilo lechidatanya. We do need it. For what it says in the following braisa, when it says oisoi, that if the sor nafi is shechted on the north, means the ain sor nachshin the sotin. It means the one that it's excluding is the sor that was brought by nachshin and all the other nesiim during the first 12 days of the Chanukah nesiim. The difference is a typical chatas from that point onward in history, a chatas is being brought for some kind of avera. A chatas yochid is being brought for the eight chaylev or dam or what have you. The chatas of Yom Kippur are being brought for the averus of the koyin. The various other chatoris that they brought also for such things. One second. Even the ones of Rosh Chodesh and the ones of Yom Tov, as we learned back in Shavuot, those come for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodesh. So each one of them comes for some kind of avera, we learned over there that they take care of various cases of Trumas Mitzvah Shvakotcha, where there was no Yudhiyah B'Tchila, but there was Yudhiyah B'Tzoyf, or whatever. Yeah.
There's nothing else that is coming.
Right. The point is, Sar Nachshon and the Seirim of the 11 Nesiim who follow him, those were not being brought for any specific Avera. Now, okay, the Rashi on the Pasuk mentions that it did have...
When it was built.
Yes, the first 12 days of Chanukah Zabayis, yeah. Okay, Rashi on the Pasuk mentions over there that they were meant to take care of the case of Kever Atahoy. Yeah, let's say somebody had become Tomei from an underground Kever that nobody knew about, then it would be Mechapa for that time. But you don't really need a Chapa to be Mechapa for that in the first place. The Medrash also says that it was to be Mechapa for selling Yosef. Yeah, fine. But Tumas Atahoy is a separate thing. The person may never discover that they were Tomei in the first place. And then in that case, the serve, the next Rishonish will take care of it if it need be, but whatever. The Medrash also mentions that it's doing Mechapos for the sale of Yosef, but again, that's not the kind of thing that you normally bring a Mechapos for. But basically, the serve of Nachshon and the other Nesiim was not really meant for Kapara. Fundamentally, it wasn't a Dover, just like the rest of their Korban. Therefore, when the Pasuk says, by the serve of a king, by the serve of Nasi over there meaning a king, that Oisoi, it is shechted on the northern side. It doesn't mean to exclude other types of chatoris that are brought from that point onward in history. It means to exclude certain action that one does not have to be shechted on the north.
And it was on the north.
It didn't happen. The third group by Nachshon and the rest of his fellow Nassim did not have to be shechted on the north. Vitanya, and we also learn in another Braisa, also in this connection, when the Pasuk says, v'samach yodei al reish asur, when the Pasuk introduces and it mentions by the chatas, it says that he has to lean his head, that he has to lean his hands, rather, on the head of the sur. This is again by a sur nasi. And again, it didn't have to say al reish asur, because we know from the previous Pasuk that he's bringing a sur. Therefore, we have a ribui, the rabbi's sur nashin, the smicha, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, there you have a ribui, that sur nashin also needed smicha. Even though, again, it was not being brought for any specific set, nevertheless, Nachshon still had to lean his hands on it, just like with any other chatas. So the Oseh was a miyut that didn't have to be shechted in the north, but the Samach Yadah, Rosh Hashanah, was a ribui that he did need smith on it. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yehuda learned it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, L'rabbis Se'iri Avedis Kechavim L'smicha. No, Rabbi Shimon says, the ribui is that also the Se'iri Avedis Kechavim, also the members of the Beis Din need to lean their hands on them. Which actually, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that concept. Rabbi Yehuda says that the only sawyer of the tzibur that needs smicha, he says, is the sawyer of a shaleach, the one that's sent away to Azazel.
On Yom Kippur.
Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that no, this the samach yodei arosh asur comes to teach us that seiri avodas kechavim also have smicha done on them. Now, so the point
the
is,
the halacha is like
Rabbi Yehuda. I think the halacha is like Rav Shimon that the Seir Avodas Chachamim do require smicha. I don't remember. So the point is, given that we have a ribui there for the chatas nachshon and according to Rav Yehuda required smicha, so you would think to say, however, it's rabu the smicha, it's rabu naman the chachamim. Well then, if third nachshon also has a ribui that just like a regular chatas, it needs smicha, even though again it was not being brought for any specific chet, you would think maybe it also is, that it also has to be shechted on the north. Therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore he says, that is why you have the word oisoi in the pasuk to teach us that not. But nothing to do with that other chatas are not on the north, all other chatas are on the north.
It's just a miut for that one.
And the reason we need that miut is because we see that you have a ribui as far as smicha, and therefore you would think that maybe once smicha applies to it, maybe tzafen applies to it. The fact is, it was offered having in mind as a chatos. When they shechted it, they had in mind a chatos. It followed the usual rules of a chatos insofar as the blood was daubed on the mizbeach in the regular way for a chatos, and the imurim were burnt, and the kohenim ate it. In fact, you have the famous thing that's in Parashat Shemini over there. They had three chatos that day. You had the chatos of Nachshon, you had the chatos of the milurim, and you had the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. I mean, and Aaron's sons, Elazar and Itamar, burnt one of them, namely the one of Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So they burnt one of them, the one of Rosh Chodesh, and Moshe got upset with them, and Aaron explained to him the difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodesh. But the one of Nachshon they actually ate, like he's supposed to eat a chatos. Okay, fine. So Ravina asks on that, okay, Hamichal Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, so then you explain why you need the word Oyster in the Pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, my Ekomemra. What are you going to say according to Rabbi Shimon? If Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't have a ribui that Sawyer Nachshon needed smicha, he says the smicha over there refers to Seiri Avodas Kechavim. So according to him, there's no particular reason to think that Sawyer Nachshon should have required something. So according to him, what do you need the word Oyster for?
According to him, there was no smicha.
According to him, maybe Sarah Nachshon didn't need smicha. And it didn't need tzafen either, because it wasn't in both those senses, it wasn't a typical chatas. Amalei mazut rabbeinu of Tavi l'Ravina, nu, ulur of Yehuda mimicha, nu, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, are you understanding? Just Rabbi Yehuda is arguing because you had a ribui for smicha, therefore you're arguing you need a miut for tzafen. Why? Why is it so understandable according to Rabbi Yehuda? You could argue l'may de'israbi israbi regarding what the Torah gave a ribui, namely regarding smicha. Then fine, it was marba that Torah nashen needs smicha. Or l'may de'lo israbi lo israbi. Whatever it wasn't marba. Why? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, why should you need a miut for tzafen? Just because you have a ribui for a smicha doesn't mean that therefore you say everything else would be nisrava and you definitely need the word oisai as a miyut. So you ask in the question of Shimon, but you could just as well ask the question according to the Yehuda.
And the question would be, if you have... Why do
just you because you have one thing that you have a ribui for doesn't mean that it should apply to other things that have nothing to do with it. Now you're going to answer, okay, but the verse is maybe if you didn't have the word oisai, then you would think that you should learn it, that you would learn it from binyan av, that just like other chapos require suffering, so does this one require suffering, and you're arguing therefore that you need the miut of oisai for that. You're going to argue like this. The reason why you need the miut, not because you have a ribui for smicha, but because otherwise you would think it's a regular chatas, and a regular is just like any other chatas, the same rule that applies to other chatas, the same dinyan av will apply to third action. Therefore you need the miut to tell us otherwise. In case smicha gufa takes no dinyan av. Then in that case, you don't need a ribui of points of yehuda for smicha either. You could use the same dinyan av. Once it says that you do smicha on a chatas, then it applies across the board to all chatas, and you don't need a specific pasuk for samach yado al rosh hasoir. You don't need the word al rosh hasoir to teach us that it also applies to certain actions. So again, why would Rabbi Yehuda say you need a ribui for one and you need a miut for the other? You shouldn't need a ribui for why do you need the ribui of smicha and the miut of suffering? If you're arguing that you're not learning it by binyan av, then both of them are excluded. And if you're gonna say that you're learning from binyan av, then both of them are included. So why do you need a ribui for one and a miut to tell us not the other one? Ella midurus like a man. Obviously the
entities both are either included or excluded.
That you would think. Why should one? Ella midurus like a man. So you're gonna answer why would you need a specific ribui that it needs smicha? You would argue because this is a one time in history carbon. Kodshe Shah, and you can't learn it from Dodas, you can't learn it from Kodshe Dodas, from Kovanas that are going to be brought throughout the generation. Well, then you could argue the same thing as far as Sofan. How can I be Dodas like Gamnenim? Then by the same logic, you're not going to learn Sofan either by that same logic. So why would you need a mute to say that? It doesn't need to be in Sofan. You could argue the same thing, the same logic. It's Kodshe Shah have different rules than Kodshe Dodas. Therefore, it doesn't require suffering. Why do you need a specific mute? Why do you need the word oisa in the positive to say that it doesn't have to be in the suffering?
If it's such a shot.
Yeah. So now, so we can't say that that's why we have the word oisa.
So therefore, that whole construction is...
So therefore, yeah, we can't say that we're learning from oisa, we can't say that we're learning from it, that not third action. Because then we have the problem that why do you need a ribui for smicha and a miut for this and a miut for something?
You would need what?
Yeah, you need nothing. You'd need both. Whatever. You wouldn't need to be marga one and be mamayat the other. Either you'd be marga both of them automatically because it's a chatas and you learn from the binyan av, or you'd be mamayat both of them automatically because kodshe shah and kodshe doris. And you have no logical basis to say that you should be marga one and mamayat the other. The ela oisa the sofen. No. So what we say is rather as follows. The oisai by the third nasi comes to teach us that it, meaning the korban, has to be on the north side. The ein shrita does something, but the kohen or whoever it is, actually, because anybody can do shrita, the person who's doing the shrita does not necessarily have to be standing in the suffering. Unlike with tabbala, which we said in the Mishnah,
the lockup, we said in the Gemara before,
that he has to be on the same side. With shrita, it's not like that. He could be standing on the south side of the azara and use a long knife or reach over and do the shrita. We learn that from the word oiso, that only if the korban needs to be on the north side, not the shrita, right? Next question is shrita midrav achi master. We don't need to learn from oiso. We can learn that from what Rav Achi is saying. The time, you're Rav Achi oiner. If he's quoted an advisor, apparently he's a tanner. Rav Achi says, when the Pasuk says, v'shachat oiso al yarach ha-mizeach tachon, and when the Pasuk says by an oiler that he should shecht it on the north side of the mizeach, meaning ma tamad loy, why does it have to say the word oisai? It's like this. We know that the makabel has to be standing on the north side of the azara and he has to do the kabbalah on the north side. We said before if he stands on the south side and reaches over, then it's possible. Or if the basin itself, that's the kabbalah. So therefore, the Omer Bajarim Bakil was Sofen Possel, and if he stood on the south side and reached over to the north side, and then Kabbalah would be Possel, Yochol Ach Zekein, so you would think maybe the same thing says of Achia, the same thing maybe should be true as far as Shita. Therefore, Talmud Lema Oso, meaning Oso Batsofen, Vein Ashoto Batsofen. So that's what he says, that's what you learn. So therefore you learn it from that. So you learn it from that Oso, from Vashachat Oso, Al Yarach Mazeh Tafonah. You don't need it from the Shachat Oso Lachatos later on in Vayikra about the Torah Nasi. So then we already know it. Then he continued.
There's two
Oseis. There's two Oseis. One near the beginning of Vayikra by the Ola, and one later on by the Chatos of the Nasi, the Torah Nasi. Right. Ella, no. So the answer is rather we're going to use one of those Oseis as follows. It's not contradicted by Rav Asher's statement, because it's true we have two Oseis, but from one, we learn from them two different things. From one of them, we learn that the Shochet does not have to be standing in the Sofet. From the other one, we learn a related concept. Namely, Ela Osei Batsofen Ve'en Ben Ois Batsofen. Rather, we use the Oseis to teach us that when you shech a korban, the korban has to be standing on the north side. So in the case of the Sarnosti, he said that the korban has to be standing on the north side of the Azara. However, Ben Oif, when you're bringing a bird as a korban, that does not have to be standing on the north side of the Azara. That's what we learn from the Oisoi by the Sarnosti. So from one of the Oisois, we learn that the Shochet himself does not have to be standing on the north side. And from the other Oisoi, we learn that the whole concept of north only applies to animals, not to birds. The time, as we learn in a Brisa.
We cannot learn that it needs the Shochet to be understood.
Because we already have the other one for that. So we have two Oisois. One teaches us that the Shochet does not have to be on the north, and the other one teaches us that when you're bringing a Ben Ois, when you're doing the Likah of a Ben Ois, the Ois itself does not have to be on the top. The time, as we learn in a
Brisa.
That's yeah. The time, as we learn in a Brisa, Yoko Yehei Ben Ois Tolan Sofren, you would think that a bird has to have the Likah done on the north side of the Azara. And in fact, you would think the Jinibu, you would think the next Kavachomer as follows. Uma ben son shall I cover like Koyan, cover like Sofen. Madach, when it comes to sheep, where it doesn't have to be shechted by Koyan, Shechitin is trade of Azara. And yet, the Pasuk insists that it has to be done in the Sofen. Ben Oif shall cover like Koyan, or Ben Oif with Malika daft has to be done by a Koyan. Ena Jinshi hei tohen Sofen. Ena Jinshi cover like Sofen. Shouldn't it be a Kavachomer? That's how Kavachomers work. You would think, therefore, that maybe
it's a for a coin, yes, for a czar, no.
That's the point. Why would it be?
Why not?
Why should it be? Talmud Loma, Oisai. That is why the Pasuk spells out by saying Oisai to tell us that, no, the bird does not have to be. A sawyer or any other animal has to be, but not a bird. Okay, the question is, Mala Ben Son, Shekavalei. Okay, but you could argue, on the other hand, the Ben Son, you're arguing that the Ben Oif is more chomer for the purposes of this Kavachomer because it requires a Koyin. On the other hand, the Ben Son has a Chomra in that you have to shecht it with a Kaili, as opposed to the Ben Oif is shechted using the Koyin's fingernail. So maybe the other way around. Maybe the Oif is the one that's cow, and the Ben Son is the one that's chomer. You don't need necessarily a mute then to say that.
Because
the Ben Son requires a knife, requires a three shot, and the Oif doesn't, right? Yeah. So we can't say that that's what the word Oisai is teaching us. It can't be teaching us that a bird doesn't have to have Melissa done here on the wood. It is true, it doesn't. However, we don't need the word Oisai for it because we could just as well use the Kabbalah the other way around and argue that a Ben Oisai is more lenient than a Ben Oisai.
Why?
Because an Oisai doesn't require a Kaili and a Ben Oisai does. Okay, it's my time now, but we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, with more discussion of what we could be learning from the Oseis.
So these two Oseis, one is in which Pasha?
So both of them are in Vayikra. One of them is near the beginning of Vayikra, the Shachat Oseis Al Yarachon Mizbeach Tafonah.
Which Pasha?
In Vayikra, in Parashas Vayikra. One of them is near the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, the Shachat Oseis Al Yarachon Mizbeach Tafonah L'Fnei Hashem. The other one is later on in Vayikra, towards the end of it, when it talks about the Sor, near the end of Chamishi, where it talks about the Sor of a Nasi, where it says, V'shachat Oisai, the Mkaimashi Yishachat Oisai. That's what we're trying to figure out. What are these two Oisai? What are we learning? What Mios are we learning from each one of them?